Hey everybody, welcome to Tarot Time, Tarot Talk, whatever the hell it is, Tarot Time. I just made that up, it doesn't mean anything. Here with Stacia, we're just chatting. Hi Stacia.
Hello.
Okay, so yeah, I got an email from one of my students. Says that the problem she's having with Tarot is her. She struggles with indecision, self-doubt, she second guesses herself, and she wants to develop, you know, develop her self-confidence using the tarot. And I was just thinking about that. Stacia just asked me a question. I said, you know what? We should record this. So, what was that question, Stacia?
Well, the question that I had was, being that you've been doing this for many years and everybody's got to start somewhere, what was the practice that you did for yourself to become more confident in your readings?
That's a good question. Oh, by the way, everybody, this is a completely non-professional. It's 100% professional. It's not non-professional. It's unprofessional. This is welcome to the happy, relaxed Sagittarius podcast. We're just going to sit here and talk, and you can listen in. And trust me, you'll learn a lot, but we're not going to go with the big Harry Potter wrapping of the knuckles with a ruler type of thing. So, you know, just come here and take notes. So, I spent about 20 years, because I started really early. I started like when I was 8, trying to read the damn tarot. Got a book at a library. Got another little book at a library. Whole bunch of Time Life kind of books, you know, a little bit coffee table books that kind of tells you a little bit about this and that. And then more and more, I was able to find actual tarot books. Of course, I read that horrible Eden Gray book that everybody else of my time and previous to me read. What really worked for me was people kept seeing tarot cards in my hands, and they would ask me to give them a reading. Because obviously, if you're a wrench, they're going to say, hey, my radiator doesn't work. You know? They just walk up and ask you for information. If you're a doctor at a party, it's like, oh, my back, you know. So, you know, if you're walking around with a pack of tarot cards, by the way, if you ever want practice, just walk around with a pack of tarot cards. You don't have to put up a sign. Just have them. Just play with them. People go, oh, can I have a reading? You say, yes. Well, hopefully you say yes. Say something like, cross my palm with silver 5 times. I think I got that from the Wolfman, like the original Lon Chaney Wolfman thing I saw as a kid.
The gypsy.
I know, it's still a stereotype, but it was really, I mean, it was really like a good stereotype in the sense of like, it's really borderline racist, but man, it made gypsies look so cool, you know.
Like, it was the mysteriousness about them.
And to cross my palm with silver. Just, they had a sense of speaking in flowery language. It's like, wow, I want to grow up and ride in a wagon. Well, I'm serious. Of course, I want to run away with the circus and ride in a damn circus wagon and grow up and talk like a strange person. That's all parts of being a Sagittarius. Oh, by the way, everybody, please write this down. EasyAstrologyLessons.com. Please come visit our Easy Astrology Lessons podcast. Not only is it free, but don't let the word astrology scare you. This is going to be the easiest, most funnest way to learn astrology ever in the history of, well, everything. And of course, it's free. And I'll be recording episodes this week. So probably by the time you hear this, we'll already have an episode up. And we're not going to start you off at the deep end with signs and aspects and conjunctions and quincunxes and asteroids and crap. We're just going to talk about elements, and we're going to talk about how astrology works, what it is, how it is the basis of magic and religion. And so we're going to teach you astrology along the way. You're going to learn it, and it'll seem like I'm not learning anything because it's so easy. But after a while, you go, wow, I know all this stuff. And then you'll realize that your magic, effective prayer, manifestation, you know, whatever you're into, really works a lot better because astrology is just a measure of energy. But anyway, back to that. What worked for me, ultimately, I'm the king of tangents. if I'm the king of anything, I'm the king of dances. If anything would work for me was, I just got frustrated. People would ask me for readings, and I apologize till the day is over. And damn cancer, send it. That's astrology. Don't worry about that. But I just threw my hands up in the air and I said, you know what? This is what you get. I'm just going to read. And I don't know what happened to me. I just snapped and I just let go. And in the process of letting go, it all made sense. I stopped trying to memorize cards, which I'd done forever. And I just started looking into cards. Okay, here's a magician. Okay, here's a guy standing up. And he's pointing up, and he's holding a candle up, like, oh, I'm holding a candle up, and he's pointing to the ground, and he's got this thing. So I was like, well, this guy's got everything he needs in front of him, and he looks pretty confident. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of my dad. He was always like, I am not going to work for anybody else, so I'll work for myself. And that's how I came to see the magician as an entrepreneur. Because unlike the emperor, you know, I'm the boss or the chariot. I work for the boss, or the devil. We work for the evil boss. The magician kind of does his own thing, and that really follows along with the traditional memorized interpretations of, you know, autonomy and Aries and self-will and, you know, the various incarnations you can put on that. Ooh, the number one, all that stuff. Just basically a guy who kind of does it for himself. And then I looked at it and I said, well, with the white robes of purity, blah, blah, blah. But then we have the overcloak of red. And Waite and Pam really liked using red to say, look at me, look at me. So, you know, if there's a lot of red, like in the Nine of Cups, the wish card, the guy's just sitting there and he's all squat. He's like, yeah, look at all my trophies. And he's got this crazy blue and white striped. He looks like a prisoner. He's got the prison stripes. Except I think those were horizontal. But he's got a stripy circus tent thing that he's wearing and a big giant red hat that says, look at my stupid hat. And that always makes me think he's all up in his head. It's all about how happy he is. And he's got that kind of smug look on his face. So this was what really helped me get past a lot of the insecurities is... the Christians, well, some Christians have a saying that says something like, let go, let God. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to abscond with that. Let go, let the tarot. I mean, it rhymes. I don't think it makes any sense, and I apologize, but you get the idea. Hell, it makes sense to you, Stacia, right?
Oh, definitely. Oh, when you stop worrying about whether you're right or wrong, it just intuitively comes to you.
Glad somebody agrees with me. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. So let's just spend a little while talking about how we can all become more confident in our readings, because that is a problem that it's one of those secret problems that we don't really hear about. It plagues so many readers, and because we're reaching out, going out on a limb here by saying, this is what's going to happen in the future. Wow. That's pretty ballsy to stand up and say, I can tell you what's going to happen in your future. You know, you either have to have a lot of ego or a lot of charm or a lot of BS. But we're going to shove all that aside. We're going to say, we think we can actually do it. I mean, I've got testimonials for years. Stacia was one of my mentees, not just a student, she's an actual, I'm her mentor, she is my mentee. She is very good at not only the new deck, but the tarot. And so she has her followers. And there's countless other people, of course, throughout the world who've done this. But the point is that all we care about here are results. And the way to get results, first off, is to just let go, let the tarot, you know. So we look at the cards and we realize that the cards are just a language that the gods speak to us through. I don't know, how would you phrase it?
How would I phrase it? The images, well, when you first learn, it's better to have people to bounce ideas off of.
Like me.
But the thing is, have fun with it. Don't get so caught up in the meeting, because you can have three different books with three different meanings for the same card. See what those symbols mean to you, because you're the one interpreting it.
Yeah, and I think that really said it all. Well, actually, two things. Number one, yes, if you read enough books, you'll find books disagree with each other to the point where it just scrambles your brain. I made that mistake. Please don't make that mistake. Read my book, become a master of the tarot, and then, of course, read everybody else's book. I mean, I don't say read my book because I wrote it. I say read my book because I've got hundreds and hundreds of people who come to me and say, I can't believe this. I've read every book on the tarot, and they excuse me, and I read your book, and it worked. And I'm glad they haven't said that my book doesn't work. If they do, I promise you guys, I'll let you know. That will not be a very happy day. But whatever book you read, just make sure that exactly Stacia says. You're looking at the image. Give me a tarot card, for example, Stacia, just offhand.
The Four of Coins.
But it is from this. I was going to say, don't let me know in advance. It's four coins,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's use the plain old boring Rider-Waite, or I should say weight symbology. Rider-Waite, Universal Waite, Galvano-Waite, any of those weights. It's a guy sitting out in the middle of, well, nothing, a blank field. Got his feet on two coins. He's holding a coin, kind of like a yin yang, and he's got a coin on his crown. It's kind of like a merchant crown, not so much like the "ooh, I'm a big king." And then he's in front of a metropolis, which means, now again, when I say which means, it looks like he's separated himself from society. But the Four of Coins is the only card in the Rider-Waite where they specifically show a city. Two of Wands, we're kind of looking down. We're like, oh, hey, there's some population there. But, and then, of course, the Ten of Coins, you've got a little tower in the back, but it's more like an estate. But an actual city with skyscrapers, that's in the Four of Coins. So if that ever came up, you said, house in the country, Ten of Cups, house in the city, or moving to the big city, Four of Coins. But what we have here is what looks to be a guy who is holding tightly onto his money. He's got his feet planted on his money. And then visually, the whole point of the coin on his head, again, this is only as I've been told over the years, is that he's got money on his mind. I suppose that's one way you could put that. I don't see... the money on top of his head doesn't seem very secure. A giant crow could come along and, snatch it off. So apparently the idea is that's to indicate that all he thinks about is money because he's holding onto his money. So to me, this would be saving your money, holding onto it tightly. Maybe you're saving it for something. Maybe you're a miser. Maybe you're stingy. Maybe it is a tough economic time and you're holding on to every penny because that's what it is. Or maybe you're just very good with your money and you don't waste it on dumb things. The point is that I was just able to look at the image and kind of play with it, just kind of talk through to see what the guy is doing. And then that tells me some of the various possibilities. Now, Stacia, I'm going to pick on you.
Okay.
Here we have the Four of Coins, and I gave some generic meanings. Now, one of the biggest problems that people have, and they do this over and over and over, and I'm probably going to do a special podcast episode on it, is they just throw out cards. They fail to ask a question. They fail to say, specifically, I am asking about blah, 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 blah. I am asking it from the point of view of blah, 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 blah. For example, if you're doing the Celtic Cross, cards 7 and 9 refer to the protagonist. Now, the protagonist may be your querent. Like, if your querent is saying, how am I going to be doing at work? Okay, this is like her hopes and dreams and her fears, what she wants, what she doesn't want, what she's attracting, what she's pushing away. Or, if your querent says, why isn't my boyfriend engaged to me yet? Why, you know, now we could read it from the point of view of her boyfriend. So now, same spread, tell the cross, the cards 7 and 9 say, this is what he's afraid of. This is what he's holding out for. Now, by knowing that we're saying, ah, this is who we're asking for, we really make the cards do the hard work. And that's the easiest way that I know of to build confidence, is to let go of the forced, regimented rules of, well, the Kabbalistic this, and there's 7 wands, and they're all pointing in the same direction, and you know what, just chill. Just relax and have a good time. Enjoy the pictures on the card, but specifically, know what you're asking and know that the cards are there to answer your questions. So, Stacia, as I said, I'm going to pick on you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's create a physical situation so I can show an example. Now, give me, first off, 4 of coins comes out. Give me one random possible meaning, please.
On how I would interpret that card?
Sure. It's your reading.
I would interpret that card as someone that comes from money, who is very money-minded.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Now, that is a good possible interpretation, but obviously it won't fit every scenario. You know, the 78 cards, it's like 78 words in a vocabulary. They can't just mean one thing. Now, hold on to that thought, and now we're going to say, well, here, I'm going to draw a tarot card. This is how, if you ever need to create a scenario at random, take your deck. If you're using my book and you're, you know, still in the exercises, use your study deck, just the minor arcanas. It's not going to, throwing in the majors isn't going to make it all better or more powerful. Okay, I'm cutting the deck. I've got the 9 of coins. So I'm going to say, I got it. Here's a pretty rich girl who, you know what? She's got a nice dress on with a whole bunch of flowers. This could be dandelions. They could be the sign of Venus. She's got a bird. She's at her daddy's winery. I'm just using this as an example because immediately I thought of like Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan. You know, somebody who is young, pretty, and has a lot of money, and it's mostly because other people have sheltered her and built her career. Okay, nothing wrong with that. You know, hey, if we could all get that, excellent. So, let's say that Stacia.
Yes.
A man comes to you, and I'm going to paint you in a box here, but I want to show you an example. A man comes to you. I'm not going to say anything. You can make him any man that you want.
Okay.
And he says, I need to talk about my daughter who is spending a lot of money. She's pretty and popular and thinks that money grows on trees, and I don't know if I've taken too much care of her or whatever, but she just has no respect for it. I'm afraid she'll spend all her money and be broke by the time she's 30. And this card flips out of the deck, the 4 of coins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that say to you, just randomly, based on the situation that this guy came in and started yammering on about his daughter?
And the 9 of coins popped out just
as the 9 of coins was me creating a scenario. I pulled
okay,
out.
Okay, so the 4 of coins popped out.
Yes. 9 of coins. Just I was explaining to the kiddies how you could draw a card, create a situation around a card, put it back in the deck, and then that's your situation.
Well,
so, 4 of coins pops out.
I would see that as the querent himself being concerned about his money, if he needs to rein her in on her spending, that he's worried she's going to spend all her money, hence the coin on his head. His feet planted on the ground, he knows how to handle his money, and he needs to teach her. He needs to find out if there is a problem and to talk to her about the money and teach her not to spend it frivolously.
Okay, I like that. Now, let's keep those 2 cards and let's try something different. let's say that the Nine of Coins girl is your client.
Mm-hmm.
You're screwing around, you know, with your Madam Zelda's shop of exotic horrors and whatnot, and you got your little rag on, the candles going on and all that stuff. You know, you're all dressed out and, you know, in your little costume, and the doorbells, you know, the doorbell rings, ding, ding, you know, somebody's coming in, and the Nine of Coins pops out. Like, oh, wow. So you put it back away. But this girl walks in, and it's exactly the girl we just talked about. And he thought, wow, isn't that funny? Because the card just described you. So you're with me there, right?
Yep.
So now the Nine of Coins is your client. So she's going on and on and talking about her daddy and blah, blah, blah. And she wants to know how this year's going to work out for her. Is she going to get a whole bunch of movie roles and become more famous than some other actress? And while you're shuffling, now the Four of Coins pops out. Same card, different perspective, because now she's asking.
Well, it seems that the money is on her mind and that she wants something, and she's overlooking the city, so I think that society will accept her, and she will have money, and she'll have plenty of it, and she'll be successful.
Now, this is where I'm asking, are you reading a card or not? Because she already is the Nine of Cards, and she's asking them about coins. She's asking about her future, and the Four of Coins shows up. So she's asking about how the year's going to go, and a tight-fisted miser comes up. I'm not saying you're wrong. I want you to defend your statement in front of, well, the everybody.
Well, I see this as, again, well, I
so
see...
You're saying Four of Coins is a prosperity card. If it comes up in a reading, you're going to do well.
No, when you look at it like that, it's more or less... things are going to be tight, because he's holding on tightly to the middle coin.
So I need you to tell your imaginary client, you know, she's going on, and the gods throw this card out, you know, it flies out of the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like a warning sign.
Be careful on how you spend your money, then.
Because I can't tell you what it means. All I can do is make sure that you're reading the right card.
Right.
So for our podcast audience, who's probably horribly confused now,
I'm sorry.
No, it's obviously my fault. So, lady walks in, Four of Coins flies out. We know who she is. We know what her thing is. She's asking about the course of her year. Please start from the beginning and tell me what you think.
Okay, looking at the Four of Coins, in that perspective, just holding tight the Four of Coins, I see that as a gentleman, not so much as herself. I don't feel that it is her. I feel that her manager or her spouse is holding tightly onto whatever finances she's got. And she better be careful on her finances.
This is excellent. Thank you very much. So, boys and girls, here's what we have is... if you go back and listen to this again, you'll get some very important points about tarot reading that are not on the surface. What's most important is what the card means to you at the moment. If you get the Devil card and for some crazy reason it says, wow, you're going to win the lottery, you know what? That's the answer you go with. You're either right or you're not. The important thing is to be right. And the only way you do that is you study the basic meanings of the cards. That's, for example, that's why the answers are in the back of my book. But you don't make that a priority. What you do is you look at the cards and see what's happening in the cards. As you begin to see the picture, take a look in the back of the book and say, okay, I can see how the Six of Wands, this guy is on a horse, a bunch of people are by him, they all have their sticks up in the air. He's got a stick, he's got a laurel on his head, probably looks pretty pleased with himself. If you can see how the traditional meaning evolved, that, you know, it's a parade for this guy or that he's popular, then that's better than just saying, oh, this is what it means, and therefore it has to be. Look at the picture first. See how the traditional meaning came about, how it makes sense. Now, when you're out there reading, sometimes that meaning will be precise. Sometimes the meaning will come at you from the side door. In this case, Stacia said that she felt specifically that our imaginary client was not in control of her finances, that some man, some male figure in her life was controlling or limiting or doing something to her finances.
Just restricting them.
Right. Now, you may, in your readings, come to this and say, this is a warning that she better watch her finances, or that the public won't buy her album or movie tickets or whatever, or perfume or whatever she's making. You may say, wow, she's going to do really well and be responsible with her money. The situation will give you the words, because the tarot is designed to react to the question that you're asking. Too many people throw the cards out as if it's like refrigerator magnets. What is that, refrigerator magnet poetry? Well, that's an idea that came and went. But if you remember it, or if you don't, just look online. Those little words cut in the magnets. On a magnetic sheet, and you just rearrange the words on your refrigerator till you made a sentence. People treat the tarot like that, like they can just throw out a spread and say, I will make sense out of this. That's just torture. To build confidence in yourself so that you read the tarot more accurately, more easily, and develop your abilities, your psychic abilities, your abilities to read the tarot, your confidence. All of this happens if you firmly say, I know what my client or querent, client one who pays, querent one who asks, either way. And you could be your own querent because you're the one who asks. You say, I know what the question, I know what the situation entails. And then I'm going to ask a question based on that situation. I'm not just going to throw out cards. And then, whatever spread you use, 1, 2, 3 card spread, 4 card spread, you can use any number of cards in a spread, but generally 1, 2, 3 card spreads, and then your bigger spreads, like your roundabout spread, your Celtic cross spread, relationship spreads. These will be a direct answer to your question. They're not just something you throw out vaguely. And that's the difference between getting absolute concrete answers and vague answers. Is when you do the homework, such as knowing the situation, asking the right question is the one that specifically affects what's going on. And then you throw the right spread for that question. We'll probably talk about that later. We've already gone over that in the easytarotlessons.com lessons. Those are free, you know, feel free to sign up for free lessons. So again, I will say this over and over just because this is something that people keep forgetting to do. Know the situation, ask the question. Once you do that, the cards are going to do all the hard work for you. Shuffle the cards until it feels right. Don't get caught up in the, oh, I have to cut my deck with my left hand, or cut the deck into 3 piles, or shuffle cards. These are all tricks or gimmicks that people use to overcome their confidence. If you want accuracy, you just have to keep shuffling those cards until that little ding goes off in your head. And you're like, oh, okay, fine. And it's very subtle. Now, once you throw the cards, again, that's where the let go, let God part comes in. You throw the cards. Set the deck down. Look at the cards that are in front of you. We'll talk later, again, about verification cards in the spread. Those work with the Celtic Crossfire or the Roundabout or some of your larger spreads, you don't really get verification cards in a smaller spread. But once you throw the cards, they're out there. Just read them. Just look at them. If you have any questions, email me at dustywhite.net. I will be more than happy. Or Dusty at easytarotlessons.com. Either one. I will be more than happy to answer these questions for you. And we will make you a better reader. In the meantime, please check out easyastrologylessons.com for your free astrology podcast. And go to easytarotlessons.com for your free tarot lessons. All right, that's my thing. Stacia, anything to add?
Just wanted to confirm that when you are doing a reading, whether for a client or for just a questioner, it is very important about the question. I had gone to a party, for example, and read for a couple of women there, and three out of the four had questions that were specifically answered. The fourth one really didn't have anything to say. And I asked her, is there anything you want to ask me or want to know a little bit more about? And she says, no, not really. And her reading, it was a Celtic Cross reading, it was so general that it could have fit any of them.
That's the thing. I ask my students to refuse to read for people when they say, oh, just tell me anything.
It made me very uncomfortable to do. Not very uncomfortable.
It put you in the pressure. It said, you know, hopefully, guys, this will never happen to you. But I can't tell you how many times, hundreds, I have heard, you're the psychic, you should know. And people say that like they're the only person who ever thought of it. You know, and it's funny. Don't let that happen to you. You know what? I'm going to leave it with that. Thank you very much. Please tune in next time, same bat time, same bat channel, and we will stumble through another episode.